I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most cowardly podcast network.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched Fear Street 1994. Fear Street 1994 is a 2021 American slasher film directed by Lee Janiak, based on the book series of the same name by R.L. Stine. Set in 1994, it follows a group of teenagers who discover that the terrifying events which have haunted their town for generations are all connected, and that they may be the next targets.
It slapped.
Oh,
big time.
Big old slap.
We were talking about watching this, Sean. You were concerned. It's R.L. Stine. Is it going to be, and because it's based on a teenage book franchise, was it going to be aimed a bit too young, a bit like Vampires in the Bronx?
Yeah, or even like, you know, the Goosebumps recent film with Jack Black in
it. Right. You know?
But no, it does not.
Not at all.
It's right out the gate. It is swinging.
It went way harder than I thought it was going
to
be.
Yeah.
On so many levels.
Yeah. And not even like this. Sometimes a movie, a horror movie, will go really hard in the first scene and then kind of level out. It didn't level out. It just got more fucked.
The pacing in this thing was intense.
It zipped. Yep.
It really kept going.
Hums.
And especially like even right down to that third act where you think, okay, we've won the day. And then it just ratchets it up another notch.
Yeah. And it's like you're saying it goes harder. It's not just like the gore's hard and all the horror stuff's hard, but like the emotional beats are hard. The characters are really interesting and there's a lot of stuff to bite on. Like the whole idea that there's this town that is just shit and next door is a town full of money.
Yeah, great.
It's like this lovely kind of commentary on like the state of America.
Yeah.
Like it's like, okay. I didn't expect this movie to go that hard, but I fucking dig it.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
Yep. And like even our main core of characters, they weren't like they definitely didn't go for any of the cliches of slashers. Like they were almost purposefully getting characters we hadn't seen in slashers before, I don't think.
Yeah. Like you had a cheerleader, but she wasn't like the cheerleader. She was like she was a drug dealer.
Right, exactly.
Like street smart, very clever.
Yep. But you can get behind that because she's like, no, I'm just doing this. It's temporary.
Yeah.
I just want to get out of this town.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make money to get out of here.
Yeah.
Which and that's you can totally kind of get behind.
Yeah. In the same way that the other guy is also dealing drugs because, and you learn this later, his employee of the month every month because he works double shifts because he's basically paying the bills for his whole family.
Right.
Redeemed him a lot.
It did because he was a cooked character.
Yeah, big time. He was so fucking annoying and then he became okay.
Yeah.
I loved him.
I know you did. From the first minute, you were like, he's great.
He's such a weird unit. A weird unit. Just that whole bit where, and maybe we're jumping around way too ahead here, but that sequence where before they have the final fight, Sam and, what's her name?
Dina.
Yeah.
Like reconnect and hook up in the science room and it's like, oh, they're having their moment. Old mate hooks up in the bathroom with the girl with his dreams.
Yeah.
Yep. And then they all come out of the bathroom and it's like the weird guy
Simon
is like, oh, you guys all went to Pound Town. And they all look at him and he's like, me too. And it's like, did he just have a wank in the bathroom?
He definitely
he's just
did.
Loving himself, man.
He needed some of that post-wank clarity before you take on Satan, I guess.
Good on him. Dina's a great protagonist. I really loved her.
Really good.
The actress is awesome. Fucking great. I just, yeah, I got behind it completely.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so good to have a good character.
Oh, it's so satisfying.
You don't always in this genre.
No.
This, it exceeded my expectations.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for the next two parts.
Yeah.
That's, couldn't agree more. Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, it could have been nothing, but there's just like, there's a lot of meat. And again, it, one of the things I really liked is because this town has this idea of it's been cursed for ages.
Yeah.
And there's so much evidence. And because they see a lot of it firsthand, you don't spend 20 minutes of the film trying to convince them that something bad is happening and then people keep dying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, nah, something weird's going on. They go to the hospital, shit gets real. They see it happen and they're like, okay, fuck, we've got to deal with this.
Yeah.
Immediately. Oh, we shot that girl in the chest and she just got back up.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, like the whole backstory gets delivered in this really quick way that also doesn't feel rushed. Like it's really good storytelling. And like having the brother be an expert and seeing some of the shit on his walls and that sort of thing. Like, yeah, it just delivers that really well because it's quite a complex kind of plot really in a way.
You've got to give hundreds of years of history in 5 minutes.
Yeah, and it nails it.
Their acceptance of what's happening makes it even more, it makes it heartbreaking really at the end when several characters die, because normally like the cliched characters don't really get on board the killer thing that's happening. And so when they die, it's kind of like, oh, you got what you deserved. But in this case, it's like, oh no, they did. They tried to do the right thing.
Yeah. Because it gives them more chances to try.
Yeah.
And things just still keep don't work, like that don't work out for them.
Yeah.
So it really elevates the stakes a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Its greatest strength, though, I think, is possibly a bit of a weakness. And because there are two more to come, there's a few characters who feel like they don't do anything yet here.
Right, yes.
And there's a few mysteries that I guess will be unpicked and unpacked.
Yeah,
in particular, the sheriff, who it was interesting. You think he's a villain, but then maybe he's not.
Yeah.
And then he kind of is like, he understands what's happening. And then you get that whole thing where he drops the note through the letterbox with it's happening again. And it's like, that's interesting and cool, but we're not going to get it resolved probably for two films.
Right, right.
And that's maybe the only drawback, but because of the wonder of Netflix
and
it's being released over 3 weeks, you're like, oh, well, that works perfectly.
Right, and like for me, I'm really excited by that. This is what streaming should be. It should be introducing new ways to tell stories in interesting ways. And like, I even love that we have to wait a week. So we haven't seen the next two. We're going to try to record.
Yeah.
Before we move on to the next one, so we're still in a bit of the dark, you know.
Yeah.
But I really like that. I think that's such a great idea for... This is what streaming should be doing. It should be giving new avenues to tell story.
Yep.
Get these, creators in who want to do something interesting.
Yep.
And give them the chance to do it without needing to have a big fucking box office smash, you know.
Yeah. We haven't had a ton of new releases in the past, 18 months.
Mm.
This is cool. This feels like, sort of event style. Like what the MCU was when cinemas. When, Avengers Endgame was wrapping up and stuff like that. Obviously, it's not as big, but it feels cool. Like, I like having that build up.
Yeah.
Mm.
It feels like I'm part of a secret club.
Yeah.
And I think that is kind of cool because it ties into that whole, like, Goosebumps, Fear Street, RL style. Like, that groups of people who are kind of, like, outcasts banding together to, like, face off with something.
Yep.
You know, all these outcasts watching horror as almost like a group of people. You know, you have a week now to theorize what's going to happen in number two.
Yeah, it's great.
You then have a week to theorize what's going to happen in number three. Like, I feel like I'm part of something. It's good.
Yeah. I don't know how popular this is going to become, but it'll be a cult classic, if anything.
I think it's great. Yeah.
Also, I think they've nailed the tone of it. We haven't read the books, but I think you've hit that audience of like people who were maybe 15 back when they read the books and now are older, and it's hitting that. But it's also, if I saw this when I was 15, I would have blown my dick off, I reckon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's a fucking great movie.
It's a huge.
Good fucking movie.
Yeah.
Well, let's go right back to the start because I do want to talk about that opening scene because that sets up exactly what we're in for.
That kind of shocked me a bit. I was like, oh, this movie's going to be full on.
It's full on. We've got it. We think we know who our protagonist is, and we see her get brutally murdered.
Yeah.
Like, I was convinced she was going to live.
Mm.
Even once she got stabbed once, I'm like, no, she's going to live. We see her running away, blah, blah, blah.
She fights back.
Yeah. And then we get that slow stab, through the
spine.
Through the spine.
Oh, yeah.
It's so harsh. And especially because we've got no context, we've got no reason. All we saw was that her mate had a fly hanging around him.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he's killing her.
You hear that creepy voice going, which, it's bad. That big... although they do linger on the big tree in the middle of the food court.
Already I'm like, I'm keen on that. Like, you know, it's tough with those setting those things up because you want your audience to see them so they can look forward to it. They can feel smart when it does come back again. But yeah, for me, I was like, okay, I was on board very quick. And then also the style of this film.
Oh, the colors. Gorgeous.
The colors were amazing. They nailed that. And then the sound, the music.
Oh, fantastic.
There are so many needle drops in this, yeah, and every single one of them fucking works.
Yes.
Big time.
Like, just, and also because it's like 94, you're just getting some good nostalgic tunes.
Yeah. Just going back to that first scene, what name did they give that killer again?
Skullface.
Skullface, yeah. So he immediately you look at him and you get a bit of a Scream vibe because it's like Ghostface.
100%, yeah.
But what threw me off balance was that once he was stabbing her, it's like, oh no, he's not the goofy, clumsy Ghostface. This is an efficient killer and oh fuck.
Yeah, and she pulls his mask off and he's like grey and his eyes are all out of focus. Yeah. And he's also invincible because he comes back from the dead.
So the threats in this feel very real.
Yeah. Right. The fact that she's whispering, it's me, to him. Like, she's still trying. Like,
that's horrifying to watch. She's like gurgling up blood.
Right. And just saying, like, she's so confused and so, and broke me so early on.
Yeah.
And then we're straight back into with his other characters. Like you said, with Dina, you very quickly on board. This is one good thing about the shit town and the good town. Of course, you're rooting for those underdogs in the shit town.
Yeah.
And also, they've got good motives already. Like, their town is so shit, bad things happen to them. Helps them understand, like, again, not really question any of the shit that's happening because it's been happening throughout history.
Yeah.
But also gives them motivation. Either they want to get out, like, for the drug dealers. Yeah, of course you want to get out of this town. It's literally cursed in some way.
Yeah. I loved that there was just that thing of her girlfriend. Is it Sam?
Sam
moved and she's like, I'm only moved 30 minutes away. But they just sell it.
Yeah.
It's such a shift. It's a divide between them and it's great. And also love the little reveal because of movies, I guess.
And
the way Hollywood's been for years, you assume Sam is a man.
Yes.
And that's not. It's a girlfriend and it's great.
Beautiful. And they do try trick you.
They do,
They show you a guy.
They love that they're going to pull the rug out on you.
Yeah,
they fucking love it. Job well done. It's great. Yep. They're both great characters. It's awesome.
But that's that thing when she says, I'm only 30 minutes away, and she's like, I can't remember the exact line, but the comeback is like, it's, you know, it's so much further than that.
Yeah, it's great.
Like, that's not even the distance.
This movie has more depth than, everything about it is better than I expected.
Right, And then another thing I loved is that, like, while it was definitely more adult than I was expecting, the characters are so teenage, and it really portrays that chaos of teenagerdom so well.
Yeah.
Like, everything is chaotic and, like, and it is, like, dramatic, but it's also, you know why it's dramatic? Like, even her writing that letter at the start to Sam, and she's like, you know, you're like, oh, such a teenage drama thing.
I'm going to be angry and sad and listen to Creep.
Yeah, right.
That is how I express myself. Yeah, fuck
that,
you.
Yeah. That letter coming back at the end, beautiful.
Fantastic,
I fucking loved it.
With it all crossed out, I still love you, I always will.
Yeah.
Is that what it said?
Yeah, it was something along those lines. Yeah.
Oh, it's good.
It was beautiful.
Really, really good.
And heartbreaking.
Well, yeah, yeah.
They're in for a tough time. So are we.
One thing I will say that, like, everything works really well. The deaths are really cool and there's some great horror moments. There were a couple of deaths that just felt rude.
Yeah, yeah.
Just one, very rude.
One in particular.
Yeah.
What's that character's name again? I can't remember.
Kate, yeah. Putting Kate through a bread slicer.
Yeah, rude.
Just...
because I didn't think it was going to happen.
Yeah.
She's getting closer and closer, and it's that typical movie thing where she's going to get out at the last minute, maybe flip him around,
or someone's going to come and save her. They're going to kill Sam so that the ghost will disappear.
And it didn't. And then it's not like they cut away.
No, not at all.
They lingered on it. It's brutal.
Yes.
Like, that was fucked.
She gets caked.
She'd done enough for me to redeem herself.
Yeah.
Because not long before, she wanted to just give Sam up to the bad guys to save herself. But then, we're in this together.
And then she makes the sacrifice. That's that bit where she's got the blood on her. She's like, why are you doing this? Yeah. I remember when you sacrificed yourself.
Yeah, it was nice.
It was really good.
I wanted them to get through it.
Yeah.
Didn't care so much about Simon.
I don't know why you boys hated Simon.
No. I mean, come on, mate. He was an annoying fuck.
Yeah.
But then he came good. And so, it is sad that he got a fucking axe in
the head. But also for Simon, you're like, well, I mean, I guess he's looking after his family. But because I guess he was solo, like, he went and pleasured himself. He didn't go and bang away somebody else. So you're like, oh, okay,
He's the expendable one.
He's the expendable one. So, we're going to lose him. We like him now. That's going to be a sad loss, but I'm ready to sort of bear that.
Now, lose them both.
Lose them both. It was brutal.
Then I thought we were going to fucking lose Dina at the end too.
Yeah.
This movie loves stabbing people.
Does it?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I honestly thought, she was gone. Although, pardon me, because I did look ahead. I liked her so much during the movie. I went, what else has this actress done? And then it showed up that she's in, like, the next one. So I was like, oh, okay. So she's going to get through it. But fuck, she got stabbed twice, didn't she? Didn't she cop one in the stomach and then cop one in the back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Same as the first girl.
Yeah,
I was like, fucking hell, man. Because then it cuts away, doesn't it? It's the brother in the basement.
And then you see
and then you hear the ruckus upstairs, and then they're fighting, and it's like, fuck.
And it ties her up with the phone cord.
Yeah, yeah, great.
You couldn't do that in 2014 because no one's got cord phones.
No. Yeah, yeah.
That is a 90s solution.
Yeah. And I also love, like we were saying throughout watching this, the author Grady Hendrix, who writes really great horror novels, this felt like one of his novels put on screen.
Yeah.
And then even the end where she's like so dedicated to Sam that she's like, all right, well, now she's already saved her from like almost certain death by having to kill her and bring her back. Now she's like, all right, she's possessed and I've got to fix that. That's the next thing we've just got to do. Yeah. Like, I love it because it feels so My Best Friend's Exorcism, which is a Grady Hendrix novel. Really excited for what comes next.
I reckon Grady Hendrix would have read a lot of R.L. Stein
when he was younger. Dude. That's good.
And I think, a lot of his stuff feels like Goosebumps sort of world, but adult.
Adult version. Yeah. Yes, that's really nice.
It's one of those things where watching this, and it's the same with like reading Grady Hendrix or reading like Joe Hill or watching Mike Flanagan or any of those things, you can just tell that Janiak likes horror.
Yeah. Oh yeah, loves it.
Loves horror. Mm. Like you can, it's one of those weird things where it's one of the only genres I feel, and since we've been watching it more, you know when people who like horror are making horror.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like you're like, oh, you love this shit, and you can see that love. Like Wes Craven, you're watching a Scream, and you're like, oh, you love this fucking stuff.
Yeah.
Like you can just, you feel it in the blood of all the blood on the screen. You feel it in the blood of the screen. The person spraying all that corn flour and red paint loves
red
it.
Red paint.
But I think genuinely, like these movies, the people who make them love them, and you can see that. And in this, you can see that. Like it feels like a love letter. There's so many nice little things, like nods to Friday the 13th, Scream, and to Halloween.
Yeah.
The babysitter beat. Like that's just like, oh, this is that.
Halloween.
Like, it's got some nice stuff and great characters. Again, just I loved it heaps more than I thought.
Yeah.
And some fucking creepy shit.
Yes.
Old scratch face girl.
Yeah.
Oh,
Ruby
Lane.
Yeah. Also, did we clock that the woman that she leaves the kids with was Mrs. Lane?
No, I didn't.
She's like, thanks, Mrs. Lane. I used to be a nurse. And I'm like, cool. We're going to learn about her later.
Yeah, I think when she said the nurse thing, it was like, that'll be useful.
Yeah.
Maybe not this one.
Also, what's worrying for us is that the creepier stuff is hinted at the next one.
Yeah.
Like, there's that flash of
the kid with the fake...
The kid who's doing, like, I don't know, hammering someone with a bat or something. Yes. He looks fucked.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't want that.
The milkman.
The milkman and the guy in the plague mask.
Yeah, that's awful. Man.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yep.
Yeah.
Let's jump right into it then. Were we scared?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Rattled really creepy shit in
there. And I really wasn't, like we said earlier, like I was expecting maybe something like The Babysitter. What was that one?
Yeah, The Babysitter.
Yeah, The Babysitter, something like that. Whereas like, it's a little bit scary, but mostly it's like, you know.
It's a bit goofy.
It's a bit goofy. It's a bit fun. It knows what it's doing.
Yeah.
This was genuinely scary.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't know what else to say.
I've got nothing else to say.
It surprised me and it hurt me.
Yeah.
And it hurt my heart. I love, they've done so well with the characters.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that, if you didn't get Dina right, and Sam and the brother too, then moving forward, you wouldn't care.
No.
But right now, I'm panicked because A, I'm going to have to watch that weird baby thing smashing somebody.
Yeah.
But also, it's going to come after them. And I'm worried.
But here's the other thing too, boys. There's still the pastor with the who cuts out people's eyes.
Oh, that's not good.
And there's the witch.
Yeah.
Who is a bit spooky, boys.
Yep. Just a bit.
There's so many, like, anytime they did, like, a flash of the witch or that, like, sequence where she's, like, reaching into the moss in the ground, they're all terrifying.
It's yuck, isn't it?
The fact that, like, Skullface isn't super scary. Sackman is a little scary.
Yeah.
Ruby Lane is terrifying because she sings that creepy song.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And like, again, like this thing does so well to, like, obviously it is the first in a series of three and it introduces all of it. Like we said, we're already nervous about the next iterations and having to see these other villains.
Yep.
It introduced them so organically. Like we just, we're on board. We're following along. Yep. The pacing was so tight yet done perfectly. And like some of those smash cuts we're talking about either with the music or, they kept doing that really good gag of smash cutting to Kate's character having some banger line, that follows on from what we just saw. And it works well because it's funny and it's, you know, it's quite cool to see. But it also, it just pushes that, the pacing along and pushes the information along so easily and quickly.
Yep.
Like it's wild to me, this introduced like 9 villains. Like we said, and it even sort of graded them of like, oh yeah, we've just already realized we're going to have to upgrade to this one.
Yep.
Then we're going to have to upgrade again to the big boss of the witch. Like really good, man.
It's all spooky.
Yeah.
It's all spooky. None of those 9 villains are similar either.
They're all really
distinctive. Yeah. And great job, R.L. Stine.
Yes. They must be pulling that from his books.
Yeah, they're haunting. Yeah.
They are haunting.
This is a guy who made me terrified of Ventriloquist Dummy.
Yeah.
So you know what? He's got form.
He's responsible for so many nightmares. Imagine how powerful that would feel.
Do you reckon?
When he sits down at his computer, he's like, here we fucking go.
Oh, I wonder.
You're going to get him.
Oh, how many children have I made piss the bed today?
It must be a good feeling.
Do you reckon as a horror writer or a horror director, you just knowing you've done something fucked and you just like jump on Twitter or something and you just see people being like, shit my pants watching this, and you're like, yes, another one.
You'll be like, how many swimming pools full of piss have I filled at this point?
The reason Stephen King is still alive is because
he's powered by piss.
He's powered by powered by piss.
All right, well, did our characters act wisely or foolishly?
They do a great job.
Yeah, I can tell you it was pretty good.
I can't really
everyone, the brother's great.
Yeah.
He's got his little nerd knowledge.
Yeah.
They all make the right choices when they have presented with the information. None of them are like, oh no, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, and even when Simon goes over to the girl singing into the road, he assumes that she's not okay.
Right.
Like he's just like, oh, that's kind of weird. Are you all right? But like,
and also he was horny.
Yeah.
He says he's like, she was hot.
Yeah.
I love when he's running away from her later and like when they're in the school and he runs back, she's like, Ruby Lane's here. She's still fucking hot. She's also so scary.
It's great. I love to, they just act so quickly.
Yes.
That's the other thing too. Yeah. So they make good decisions. Like the whole thing to lock them in the bathroom and then set it on fire.
Insanely
fucking great.
Good. Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah. Speaking of fire,
yeah.
When she lights up in the fucking thing later at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
That makes it so heartbreaking that she dies.
For Kate. Yeah.
When Kate used fire, I was like, I want you to live forever.
Your girl.
So that's annoying.
I did love this movie had both Tom Time when everyone got real horny and were banging on, and then quickly followed by Sean Time.
Like a double fire.
It's a double fire moment.
Literally, there was like horny teens, and then immediately after that was the fire.
Yeah.
Ticked a lot of, and also
no again, wonder we love this fucking movie.
90s bangers, boys.
Yeah.
That's all you want.
We listen to that soundtrack. So.
Oh, drop me just if you're making a movie and you put some Cypress Hill in there, I'm going to lose my fucking mind. Yeah. I did because it was there.
Yeah.
Fuck.
So yeah, I think they mostly like really acted really wise. Like we said, they actually get on board super quick, which gives them more time to try different things. And like we've talked about, obviously you've got to try bigger and bigger, more extreme things. They tried the most extreme thing of like
killing them.
That's it. Well, it goes to they've blown them up. That's not enough. They've now got to kill her.
Yeah.
And they still do that and it still goes wrong and they keep going and keep going. So, yeah, I don't really have anything to fault them
on. They try all the clever stuff too. Like they try the, all right, we'll bury her again.
Yeah.
And that doesn't do it. They try, we need to research what she wants. All right, so she wants the blood. Okay, how do we control the, all right, so we do this. And then they try, all right, we'll sacrifice her. Oh my God, no, someone survived. Okay, like every logic leap they make informs the next logic.
It just needs to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And they keep doing it. And they even, like what I realize is, they even succeed. They go, all right, here's what we need to do next. We've got to bury her. And like, it's tense and the bad guys are coming and blah, blah, blah. But they do it.
Yep.
But it doesn't work.
No.
Yep. And the fire, it's successful.
Yes.
But like nothing they try is going to work. Even obviously the end, they kill her. It gets it off her back for a while. But then here we go again.
Yeah.
I knew that voicemail was going to come back. You don't. Right. That's a Chekhov voicemail, boys.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, for sure. I'll tell you what, on a rewatch, I gave it 4 stars.
Mm.
I loved it.
Yeah.
It's going higher on a rewatch.
Yeah.
I think it's good.
I reckon it could too.
I'm going to enjoy this movie a lot, I think.
I think if I can forgive, I think I'll forgive the mean deaths. They hurt, though.
They hurt.
They hurt big time.
But then you're like, is that good?
There's going to be a cost, though, right?
Yeah. That's it. Like, I'm like, it hurt. but it's almost good that it hurt.
Yeah, true.
I don't feel like it was rude, but it wasn't unfair.
It hurt because it was rude and the loss of life of two characters, and also just because of the element of we're risking everything to save one life, and in the process, we've lost two.
Yes,
but also then the hurt of the ending of the film where they all have to lie about what happened and the cop knows they're lying. He's like, if you don't tell me what actually happened, you know what's going to happen. Mm. They're going to blame it the fact that they were drug dealers. And you and I know that's not fair on them. And Dean is like, yeah, I know, but they're dead.
Yep.
You know, what else are we going to do?
Yeah, that was
and
powerful.
And that whole sequence is just like, hurts so much because he knows.
Yeah.
Because we've seen earlier that the sheriff has worked out what's happening. And just, again, it's just another statistic in a shitty town. And you get that really nice moment at the end where the brother's typing and he's like, no, they were brave. That's not who they were.
Yeah.
They weren't just a bunch of drug-addled tweakers. Like, these guys were good, but it didn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
So maybe it is maybe they're not mean. Maybe those deaths are earned.
Well, I think it's effective.
Lee, what are you doing to me?
By how much it's annoyed us.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. And it is like that just statistical problem of to save one life, we've ended up losing two.
Yeah.
But they did it for the righteous reasons. So I can get behind it, you know.
That's an effect. They're effective characters then.
Yeah.
Because if they were shit and we hated them, you wouldn't care. You'd be like, that was a cool death.
Yeah.
Instead of, that's violently horrific and I feel so bad for her.
I even cared about, like, Maya Hawke's character who was in it for Heather.
Me too.
Who was in it for, like, 2 seconds.
I really liked her. Mainly because the way she dealt with the customer. Yeah. I was like, you're okay.
Yeah.
Have a lovely day. Flip the bird to your back.
Yeah. It's great.
It was very good.
She deserved to live.
Yeah.
She did.
She was clever.
Yeah.
Like, even her. Putting the dummy there instead of her trying to get away and then just couldn't.
And also the fact that it's not even her fault she's there. There's that throwaway line where she's like, why are you working so late? She's like, I've got to do double shifts because my mum bought something else instead of gas money this week.
Right, yeah.
And you're like,
this movie, man.
And that's it. And the continuing thread of all their parents because they're in shit town.
Yep, it's cyclical.
They're all shit. Yeah, that's it.
It's that bit where Dina says, I saw my future.
Yep.
It was
drinking
night
cans.
Day shift into night shift drinking 6 cans a day.
Right. Yep.
Like my dad. And it's like, this whole movie isn't about like a witch and murder. It's about the curse of poverty.
Yes.
Boys, maybe the greatest horror villain of all is inequality in society. Whoa.
Yeah.
I still think the dad's going to play a juicy role.
No, no, no.
They mention him enough.
I think.
I think it's that thing of...
Maybe he'll be...
You reckon it's that horror teenager thing of like the parents are kind of...
The
invisible.
Parents are absent. Yeah. They're useless or they're absent. Yeah. Which is like we talked about in our deep dive episode. It's so powerful because the teenagers are really on their own, but they're also really unequipped.
Yeah.
Speaking of unequipped... How would we do in this situation?
Not good. They made way quicker and smarter decisions than I can even think of in my brain.
And we'd be dead.
I mean, fire. We would think of fire.
Yes.
We would have me.
But here's the thing, right? Fire, pointless.
You try and seduce the hot singing one.
Dead.
And be dead, yeah.
Yeah. And even I was thinking like, oh, we love stories, maybe we're the brother. But I'm like, no, I don't like real life crime. That scares me because it's too
real.
Yeah,
no, I don't want to look into that. Yeah. I bought a true crime book recently, read one chapter and was like, this is too fucked.
I'll never sleep again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
I think...
We're dead.
I think we're dead. Yeah. I think this is like, in all seriousness, all of our strengths, particularly the strength of being able to buy into something quickly and understanding the rules of horror, wouldn't help us here.
No.
Because
they bought in quickly.
They bought in quickly.
And they understood the rules.
They're also a lot pluckier than we are.
For sure, man.
I don't think we'd be able to fight in the way that they fight.
Yeah.
In my heart, I'd like to think we are.
Yeah.
But further in my heart, I know that we are not.
You know what it is? I think we could overcome one of them. But the fact that there's multiple, it's just too much.
It's difficult.
Yeah. As the movie proves, it is too much. It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
The stakes in this movie are huge. As well as like, okay, let's say we get to the point where we have to kill one of us.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Tom has talked about just walking to the ocean rather than face some of the monsters we talked about.
Yep.
So, look, maybe that would work.
I'd be like, just kill me, boys. Don't bring me back. And you're like, you're not the one the witch wants. And I'm like, I know. Just throw me in the river. Give me a Timothy.
Hey, we could go the drowning thing because Shark Boy over here knows CPR.
Yeah, okay.
You do, don't you? You're a lifeguard.
I am. Well, I was.
There you go. Bam.
I assume they haven't changed the rules for CPR since I was a lifeguard.
Yep.
I actually did first aid literally last week.
There we go.
All day course.
And they haven't changed it.
And they haven't changed it.
Well, I know it's quicker, 32. But it was quicker just before I...
Well, I haven't done it, which means I'm the one that has to die.
Okay, yep. Sean. Yep. Yep.
Make sure you pump about 6 of those EpiPens into me. Really give me that adrenaline.
Really give you the rush.
No, I think we die. I think we die before we get to that. I don't even think we come up with the idea to kill one of us to get through it.
I think we're just some of the victims. We're just the statistics for when someone loses their nut.
Yeah.
I don't even think we're the protagonists.
We're just part of the bad town.
Yeah.
We are. Yeah. 3 local podcasters
are crime stats.
Become crime stats, yeah.
Yeah.
Three idiots doing a horror podcast get too caught up in the horror podcast right. and go on a murder spree.
We might get a byline because of this podcast, but that's about it.
That's it.
Yeah. Just like, oh, the irony. Okay, on to the other news.
Let's give ourselves a little stay of execution, and we are the people on the computer that the brother's talking to.
Oh, okay.
So we survive until the next one.
Yeah, until the next week. I think that's beautiful because we'll be getting there next week.
Yeah.
That is all the scaredy talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
I've been Tom.
And if you scaredy listeners would like to email us to suggest movies or just say hi, you can email us at 3scaredboys@gmail.com, or you can find us on Twitter at scaredyboys. Or individually, I'm at Midday Pajamas.
I'm at Carney from 55.
I'm at Awkward Trade.
Stay scared, everyone.
He needs some of that post-wank clarity before you take on Satan, I guess.